Decadent at knights at Prince Prospero's palace. One grim entrance. They walk through the empty, dark streets, as noiseless as the streets themselves. The slightest hint of a stanky breeze whispers at the dead leaves in the nooks and crannies of the alleyways. The smell of old blood and rot, not from something dead nearby, but from thousands of deaths nearby, just moments of it at a time, as if the black thing that moves the air here knows that too much of it at once would madden you. A series of cold, morbid thoughts flit through minds open to despair. The cobbled street under their feet is poorly fashioned, as if the cobbler had decided it didn't matter because it wouldn't be there long anyway. They stumble occasionally from loose bits of stone sticking up, yet are too edgy to pay attention to their path. Soon they realize there are no other roads in sight, beside the one they now walk on. In fact, they find they've left the village altogether. The bark of the twisted, gnarled trees ripples with the wind and resembles the scales of fish. These scaly trees are the only vegetation. These scaly trees are the only vegetation in sight. They are the only things the girls see at all in the gloomy landscape. They clasp their hands together and feel safe for a little while. A few sweaty minutes later, they notice tall spires in the distance. Once they've seen their destination, the hope that drained away from them earlier rushes back in a flood. It whelms them, and they begin to run, stopping to catch their breath only when body-racking cramps force them to either stop or void their bladders. As a result of this running, their arrival at the gates of the palace is quickly noticed. Guards step out to bar the way. Easily reaching 7 feet tall, the first thing the female eyes are drawn to is the washboard stomachs, the partially armored behemoth's wear. Their armor seems to be like leather, dyed bright red, hanging from one shoulder down to the opposite hip like a thick toga. Their three-fingered, two-thumbed hands grasp thick staffs. These staffs have many pieces of sharp chert embedded in both ends for slicing through an enemy's flesh while battering them in a twirling barrage. Their eyes are that of a lizard, placed on the sides of their heads and swiveling in all directions, bulging roundly under the undulating eyelids. Thickly corded muscle runs the length of their arms, punctuated with the occasional gold and platinum bracelet. Boots made from the skin of some strange unknown creature, white fur around the top, swirly legions of darkness on their lacquered side. Their small dark mouths are ringed in red, overtopped by severely snarling nostrils. The sounds which tumble out of each mouth bite at delicate ears, and as she trembles in large, jerky, over-exaggerated gestures, Dorothy gives both invitations to the hateful staring guards. The all-dark eyes of the guards ripple and wave as they read. They step back, and sideways, and put out an arm behind them, and invite the girls into the palace.